Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen.
And this is Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Amen. And welcome to Prophetic Atmosphere. We are both excited tonight. As you can see, I have a guest in the room evening.
Yeah.
This evening, Apostle decided to join me. Thank you, dear. Yeah. I love you.
Well, I sort of forecasted this on Tuesday when we did the joint broadcast that we would try to continue on tonight. So here I am.
Here he is, y'all. Here he is. But I am excited, or I should say, we're excited tonight to once again grace you again with the Word of God. We are glad to be in your presence. We thank everyone that has joined us in the chat room, those that have joined us on the switchboard, and we really give a shout out to those of you who have been listening to us over the years. Amen. And we pray, it is our heart's desire right here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, that you are fulfilling your kingdom assignment, that you are being empowered, that you are being challenged, that you are growing in the things of God, and not only in the things of God, but that you are growing in the wisdom, amen, and in the knowledge of God, and that the character of Christ is being formed in you daily. Amen. The whole bottom line is we want to see you mature in the assignment, mature in your callings and your giftings. Amen. And to just be his hands and his feet and his mouthpiece in the earth and telling other people about Jesus Christ and how they too, amen, life can be changed forever. And that when it's all said and done, that when they meet him, that he can say, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, but I would hear that. Amen. I truly believe I'm not living this life just to die. And I'm living this life to truly live again. Amen. Amen. And I just want to go into the announcements real quick and then get immediately right into the Word of God. The announcements for this day, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Join us right here for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen. On Thursday nights at 7 p.m., join me, amen, yours truly, for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us right here live at www.ctkr.org. As many of you may know, that is also our website. Please take a moment to visit us there. And even pray about becoming a prayer partner with this ministry, strengthening us that we continue the work of the Lord. Amen. And as you get to know more about Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, you also get to know more about myself and about Apostle McQueen. Amen. As well as our sons and daughters that are located overseas, amen, in Kenya and Uganda, in Pakistan, the different areas like that that are doing a marvelous and a fantastic work, amen, that God has given them. Speaking of missions, people of God, God has graced us with orphanages, schools, amen. And these people are our people that God has given us charge over. Not only do they need your prayers, but they also need your financial support as well. Amen. They need to also fulfill the work that God has given them. Amen. And believe me, they're doing a mighty work over there. So we ask that as you go to our website, located on the left-hand side, there is a donate button. Click on that button. Put in your information. Amen. Let us know where you would like your donation to go, and we will make sure that it gets right to the proper place. Amen. Now, also, we ask that you would go to our Facebook page. Find us under CTKR.
Nope. Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And Woman of Prophetic Destiny. I want to just jump in right there because I had someone contact me and say, I looked for you under CTKRM and I couldn't find you. But when they spell the whole thing out, then you'll actually see the page. So when you go to the website or go to Facebook, then find us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as Woman of Prophetic Destiny. And there you can actually go to this web page, our Facebook page, and like it there. And when you look at there, then we'll respond back. And we'd like to hear your testimonies and your prayer requests. And if there's something that you need the Lord to do for you, we ask that you would simply inbox us on the Facebook, that allows us to know that this is something that we're going to pray about, something that you want to share. Inbox us there, and we'll begin to pray and go through the proper things that we need to in order to make sure it gets out to a prayer network so that we can call your name and your situation up before the Lord. All right. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for that clarification, Apostle. Again, like he said, find under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny. Just letting you know also, people of God, there's some mighty good things that are going on with Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and more information will be coming, but we want you to be a part of it. So look to hear from us, amen, in the next couple of weeks of what God has been giving us ideas and what we're getting ready to introduce, amen. And we would love for you to join with us in prayer, in support, and actually meeting us right there at CTKR, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, Lifestyle, and Women of Prophetic Destiny. And I'm excited, amen. I'm excited. Before we go into the Word of God on tonight, I just want to go right into prayer. Giving God some honor, and then we want to just delve into this word and let the Holy Spirit have his way in us. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, right now in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you. We glorify you. We thank you for this is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing and are glad in it. God, even now, we thank you for your protection throughout the day. We thank you for your wisdom and your guidance. God, we thank you that you have guided our footsteps every step of the way. We thank you for your wisdom, your understanding. We thank you for your love, your favor that is bestowed upon our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, even now as we come before to minister the word before your people, I decrease and I ask you increase that you would speak forth tonight, Holy Spirit. I invite you in the space in the studio. I invite you wherever the people that are listening to us, that your presence will be right there with them. Father, we just ask that you would have your way this evening, God, as we begin to speak forth your oracles in the ears of the people that have been assigned to our voice in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we just ask every sin that is in our life. God, we ask for forgiveness right now, sins of omission and commission. Wash us and cleanse us in your blood right now, that our hands will be purified, our lips will be purified as we give your name praise, give your name glory, and give your name honor. Father, we ask that you would just begin to open up these scriptures, that you would just begin to breathe and speak immediately to your the purpose, amen, of your people. Let us hear your heart on tonight, God, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we ask that as this word goes forth, that you would begin to awaken your prayer warriors, that you would begin to awaken your intercessors, that you would begin to awaken your watchmen and your watchwomen, that you would begin to awaken your leadership, those that are called by you, God, that you would just begin to awaken us now and set an alarm within us, that we will begin to move and give us strategies, God, godly strategies and godly wisdom on how to move and how to advance, God. It is time for your kingdom to be manifested in the earth, and your people are calling and crying out to you, ready for your manifestation. We want to see your glory in the earth, God. We want to see your people begin to manifest. We want to see your people come to their rightful state and place in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, we give your name all praise. We definitely give your name all glory and honor. We thank you for your mercy, your love, and kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.
Amen. I just want to say thank you for that awesome prayer. I just want to say, you know, tonight as we go into this word, as we begin to study and see what God is saying to us, and keep in mind that these are troubling times, and we must be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Whenever there's a tragedy that happens, it is at that moment that we are brought back to a realization, and that is that God is in control, but we have to be focused on Him. Sometimes things happen, but they happen for a reason, and they happen for a purpose. And if you get past the aesthetic value of whatever is happening to really the core of what occurred, then we can really begin to focus and hear what God is saying. There's many marching now and many calling for a repeal of Stand Your Ground, and those things need to happen. But think about this, and I heard someone say it, and they said it in such a way that it caused me to stop and really think about the person who was speaking. And they said, listen, you guys are making a lot of noise about this whole incident, and you know, justice has been served, leave it alone. The problem is justice had not been served. And for once again, a travesty had occurred based on things that happened afterwards. You hear from different jurors who had different agendas for being there and what they were planning on doing. Clearly, race was an issue. And it brings back to the forefront that there are racial issues within this country. So what do we as the church do? Do we remain silent and just pray? Are we praying that the Lord will send us, you know, the overflow and we living under an open heaven? If we're under an open heaven, then why aren't we petitioning and crying out to God for the land? Why aren't we crying out for the nation? It seems that there are so many things that are happening that as long as we, as the church, as long as we are placated with our little different things that we want, it seems nobody cares what else is going on. In other words, I'm hearing people speak now, and they're speaking about, you know, God is about to bless me and this door open and I'm about to go here and get me another house. I'm about to get me another car. I'm about to go do this. And guess what? All of that is, you know, that's a pacifier to keep you from really speaking out of your mouth with the power and authority that's given to you to change and to heal the land. Why are you here in the earth?
Exactly.
What is your kingdom assignment? And see, these are the questions that we have to ask. And when we begin to deal with what God gave us and the assignment that we have been given, then we'll find that we stop seeing travesties happen. We stop seeing situations happen because we're focused on what God gave us to do. The reason why God gave you an assignment and tasked you with it at this point in time was so that you could demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God in the earth now. This is where it's needed. So thank you for all the marching. Thank you for all the peaceful demonstration. But church, brothers and sisters, we have an opportunity to demonstrate the peace of the kingdom, the power of the name of Jesus, and bring souls in. When souls are saved and they seek God, and when they seek God, the devil stops having tools and resources to destroy the land. We have been silent too long, and this is the clarion call to those who are in leadership. Get back on your post.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was looking, and people have this prophetic school and prophetic calling in this, and it's time for our stuff to be released. Listen, you get stuff, and you won't be able to have stuff because someone else will come in and possess stuff. But when you get yourself together behind your assignment, then God gives you favor and your things are released. Stop running after things. The devil has fooled too many people running after stuff that you have missed out on God. God is not pleased. And we're seeing it in the land. The land is responding to the fact that he's not pleased. Let's look at what it says here when we go into 2nd Chronicles
7:14.
It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. So now, right now, we need healing in the land. We're talking about Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman, but there's other names that we need to look at. A young man said, why are we marching afterwards? I said, well, listen, if they finally got to a march, wonderful, but while you're marching, let's add names to that. Jordan Davis in Jacksonville. We can add Trevor Dooley, who stood his ground even with the man's hands around his neck, trying to choke him out and take his weapon, fire his weapon, and yet and still, he's in jail today, 71 years old. We have John McNeil, who's in Georgia, who stood his ground, and the same thing. You know, Marissa Alexander. So, you know, this isn't an incident that we're talking about. This is what the land is doing. This is what we're dealing with here today. And as the church, we can't jump up to civil rights today and tomorrow be trying to preach down our stuff. We need to turn the corner and get back on our faces and ask God what it is that we need to be doing. Because when we seek him, then he makes sure that all that other stuff will come. Amen. But until we do that, we're stuck here. So it's time for the real prophets, the real apostles, pastors, evangelists, the real men and women of God. We got to get back to preaching the holiness, preaching holiness and righteousness. We need to go back and start preaching and letting people know that there is a heaven and a hell. You know, there we got to get back to not just fire and brimstone, because fire and brimstone without telling you that there's a peace of God that surpasses all understanding, and the blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and he has no sorrow to it. When you look at those scriptures, you'll see that there were things tied to it. That the blessing of the Lord make us rich, and he has no sorrow to it. If you just keep reading, he said, when you obey the commandments of the Lord, this thing. So there is a requirement for you to have all of that, but we have left out the requirement running after the blessing. And God is saying right now we have to get back to seeking his face.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle. And as he was reading the scripture, and I'm going to start it off again, he said, and if my people, verse 14, who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Well, if you notice, before they can actually pray, they had to realize that they didn't have all the answers.
Yes.
They had to realize that the situation was greater than they could control. The problem, amen, that we have in America itself is that we think that we have it all under control, when in reality, we don't. We're very, at times, we can be a very prideful nation. And there's a difference between confidence and pride.
Yes, yes.
Huh? I'm going to say that one more time. There's a difference, amen, between confidence and pride. Now, we should be confident in the things of God. We need to be confident in what he has given us, what he has shown us. But we can't be so prideful, amen, that we begin to walk out and do things without even seeking him and having it where we believe that it's our hand that created this, that, and thus.
Oh, yes, yes.
And that same spirit has crept over into the body of Christ because we actually believe that it is our hand that has created and made this, that, and such. And instead of raising up a generation of converts and disciples that seek the face of God and give him rulership in their lives, we have created many me's. We have become carbon copies of another person we see preach and teach. He said, once you humble, if my people who are called by my name, they humble themselves and then they pray. And then they seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. So as they're praying and seeking, this isn't a one-time, well, Lord, forgive me for everything I've done, you know, since I'm a mission and commission, and now this is my laundry list. When you're praying and seeking God, when we're truly, the days of the shut-in, when you would begin to lay before God, you didn't go in there with your laundry list. You went in before God laying yourself bare.
Oh, God, work on me.
Huh? Save me to the utmost, Jesus.
Purge me. Whatever you got to do.
Look upon this heart, God. Yes. Whatever you see in it, take it out. Take it out, Jesus. And this wasn't no one time, forgive me, and then just let it go. It was a crying out to him until the Holy Spirit would begin to reveal those hidden things that had been laying dormant in our hearts and our minds, where true godly repentance would come upon you.
Oh, let me say something right there, because that is good. The thing about true fasting and praying is when you get into that, when you really lay yourself before God, then you'll find out that God begins to, instead of showing you everybody else, he begins, the Holy Spirit begins to show you you.
Oh, yes, he does.
And when he shows you yourself, then you'll see that there's some things inside of you that aren't so pretty. You know, you've been putting on airs in front of everyone. You don't want people to know that you have some proclivities and, you know, the propensity to do this, or you have a desire over here, or you're trying to keep it down and don't want nobody to know. But as soon as you wave to everybody and you shut that front door, you go down the hall into your special room, then all of your secrets come out. You know, and some of you say, well, you know, I don't do anything, but you got a book collection, and you got your e-reader, you and your e-reader on the side of your bed with your special code that you put in, and in your mind, you go places that the Holy Spirit never designed for you to go, but you won't get into your word. See, when you begin to fast, then he begins to show you how ugly the inside is.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? We used to talk years ago about men in their magazines and their black or in their brown paper bags. But you know, today the difference between males and females is that males will go out and look at the image, and women will buy a subscription to the story that paints the image. It's all the same. It doesn't lead you to the cross. Watching social media and being on there and voicing your opinion and having no scriptural backing is destroying really what the foundation of Christianity is. If you're on there, like when you go to our Facebook page, you will see that we don't put a lot of personal information up. Things we put up are concerning ministry and events that are coming broadcast and things like that, because disseminating the information where people can come and get the word of God is important, and it's a tool. But when I'm out there trying to be today Chris and tomorrow Apostle, and next day I'm trying to be C-Mac, and the next day I'm trying to be, you know, and I'm hanging out with the people and I got my shirt on too tight, or my wife is and she has all her business hanging out and we just in front of everybody, but up on our name line, identifying us as apostle and prophet, then people in the world says, well, what's going on here? You don't look no different than me. Your mind is messed up like mine. Brothers and sisters, we got to get back to this fast, because we become so carnal that we can't tell holiness from the show that you put on every week. See, we got to get back to doing this. And this is really the time for revival to erupt. I didn't say break out. I said erupt in the land. And we got to start going out and crying loud and spare not. There are too many people dying to go to hell while we're trying to get a Bentley, while we're trying to get a Mercedes, while we're trying to upgrade our living conditions and everything else. You know, one of the greatest things I ever did was go over to Africa and see that people who have so little love God so much. And back here, we can't love God at all until we get a little bit more.
Yeah.
Lord, help us today.
You know, that's right.
You know, that's where we are. Amen.
Amen. And it's the truth. But as I was saying, people of God, even when, and I'm going back in my life, because this is how God built me as I'm moving forward. He said, and seek my face and turn from my wicked ways. So when I get into prayer, what happened to the days where, amen, where the people would come together, the intercessors, the prayer warriors would come together, and they would just cry out.
Yes.
They would cry out for the nation. They would cry out for the community. They would cry out for the pastors. They would cry out for the leadership. Then they would, after they got done dealing with everything, then they would cry out for their families, and then they would get down to themselves. And as they cried out, amen, then God, it says, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. So when the Holy Spirit was satisfied, amen, then would come his presence. That's when we would start seeing the cloud, the Shekinah glory would come in. Amen. Then we would hear, not only would we feel his presence, but then that's when God would begin to speak a word from heaven. 12 and 7 says, now when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah saying, they have humbled themselves.
Yeah.
Therefore, I will not destroy them,
but
I will grant them some deliverance.
And what we're looking for in the land is exactly that.
My wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak.
Now, let me say something right here, because with this right here, when you look at that, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. At the door right now, we have going before the Justice Department and different boards and the NAACP and other civil rights and activists. Are moving, trying to get laws established and passed in the land. And I don't believe that we understand and remember that this civil rights movement is only about 50 years old. Mm-hmm. See, it's not that we've had civil rights for that long. For far longer than that, we had civil distress. We had Jim Crow laws. We had segregation and other things. Within the last 50 years, we've made some come-ups, but we ain't came all the way up. And some have gotten so comfortable that they forgot that we had just come out. And what happens is that when you look at the earlier days of civil rights and those things that were going on, the church had a voice. The people of God were crying out to God because of all the injustices that were going on concerning them and their sons, their daughters. Disproportionate in the penal system will be minorities to non-minorities. And yet and still, what we started getting is theology started infiltrating the church, and people found out that, you know, there was
finances that could be made.
Yes. So what they started doing is running after the dollar and after the money. Mm-hmm. And people who set long-term agendas started empowering those who are minorities to receive different monetary compensations. So now we have these well-to-do looking, you know, off-focus ministering men and women of God who are leading whole congregations through an agenda, but not through the process of the cross. So when we look at this scripture here, 2 Chronicles 12 and 7, you got to go back a verse to the sixth verse, and it says, so the leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves. And they said,
what?
The Lord is righteous. I said it after 9/11 on our broadcast at the time. I said, you know what? No one wanted to see that happen. No one expected it to happen. No one's celebrating that it happened. But the reality is that 9/12, there was no fighting. There was no positioning. There was no politics. There was only prayer and crying out to God and asking him to help us. Sure. And see, you have to understand, when you get to a place where the nation ceases to operate on personal agendas, there's no lobbying, you know, that goes on. There's no positioning and tearing down and trying to, you know, aggrandize ourselves and our position on certain things. When there's such tragedy that it causes the nation to go into prayer, into seeking God, then we have really gotten to a place where God has to really shake us and get us to a place of stopping to see where we are and what's happening. And I believe that this right here is just the early quakes of a bigger one to come, because we have lost our total focus on God. Your financial situation and the financial institution has already broken down and crumbled and is trying to rebuild itself. There are other issues in this land that are breaking down and are at breaking point. Now, church, brothers, sisters, leadership, huh? Isn't it time that we begin to cry out to God again? Isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Can we set aside everything else and begin to humble ourselves? Why can't you humble yourself? Because you are fooled in your own mind. You're deceived in your own mind that the problem lies elsewhere and not with us. Huh? But we got to get back to this. So the leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, the Lord is righteous. So when we say, Lord, you know, you're wiser than anything else. Your wisdom we will adhere to. We will make you our Lord of our lives. Forgive us. They humbled themselves. Then the seventh verse, now when the Lord saw that they had humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy. You see that? But I will grant them some deliverance. You see that? He didn't say, I'm going to deliver them. He He said, I'm going to grant them some deliverance. Why the word some? Because the word some there lets them know that as they are turning and starting to progress in the right direction, the Lord is going to encourage them in their travel.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, if God gave you the blessing of your end during your transition, you would stop at the transition point that you receive the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So what he does is he gives you encouragement to keep going in the right direction. And right now we have to get back to the place where we don't mistake a payout or a payoff for a blessing of God. Because the enemy, if he can distract you by throwing money or throwing this or the relationship or whatever your way, and you stop praying and talking to God and seeking his face, then you'll have a relationship. It won't be the relationship. It'll be a relationship. You'll have some money. It won't be the money that you need to do kingdom work. It'll be some money just to keep you from focusing on kingdom work. You see what's going on? So we have to understand, we know when this is God and when he has blessed us, because we can tell by your behavior and by the outcome whether or not this came from the Lord or whether or not it was the distraction from the enemy. And we got to get so focused on our kingdom assignment that the distraction will never catch our eye. Peter walked out a miracle, walking on the water. But while he was fixated on Jesus, he was walking the miracle. When his eyes got off Jesus and he began to consider where he was and what was going on, he began to sink. Now, catch this here, because when he got to the point where he started sinking, he said the right words. He said, Lord, save me.
Mm-hmm.
And instantly, the Bible said, immediately, Jesus grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up and placed him back in the boat. In other words, we're walking a miracle, but we're starting to focus on everything but God. So now here we are at a point of it breaking down and we're sinking, and we got to get right back to Lord, save me, which goes back to the scripture we're reading here, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Some of you will just try to swim instead of asking him to save you, because your pride wouldn't let you say that it was really him or really a problem that you were sinking.
That's the truth. Amen.
You still try to make sure that it was you. And everybody saw me. And well, you know, I'm about to do that. I just wanted to, you know, come down here, but I'm going to go back up there eventually. No. Get back to focusing on Jesus. Huh? That miracle that you were walking out was for the testimony. It was the validation of God's working in your life. It was the proof that you weren't doing it yourself. And we got to get back to that.
Amen. And as he spoke, he said, after they turned from their wicked ways,
mm-hmm.
he said, then now heaven is open. You talk about that open heaven?
Yeah.
Here comes the open heaven.
And
I'm saying that prophets, especially since this is prophetic atmosphere, let me talk to the prophets for just a half a second.
Yes.
Prophets, our main job, as we already know, that we are the mouthpiece of the Lord, mouthpiece of God in the earth. But before you can properly articulate what he says, you have to properly hear what he says and understand in order to be able to articulate with clarity what he wants his people to know.
Mm-hmm.
So our job in this season, prophets, is that we need to quiet ourselves more now than ever and get our ears attuned to his voice. Because in the distractions are many voices that are speaking. And amidst all the winds, amidst all of the smoke and the mirrors, everything that's going on, you got to hear his voice.
Yeah. And you got to know that.
And you got to know it. Because everything is sounding like God is not God. And we can put the right scripture here. And those that are seasoned and know his voice, you can hear a whole bunch of scriptures, but you'll know that one particular scripture or passage of scripture he says or speaks, you'll know that's his voice. And you have to be willing to go against the grain amen, or what everybody else is saying, yay, yay, and this is the day that the Lord, and this is the time and uplift, when God is saying, no, now's the time to get on your face and seek me.
Yeah.
What is he saying? God is saying, this is the time to get on your face and seek me. Then when you hear properly from him, then you can articulate with clarity what he needs to speak to his people. And then it'll be, because it says even here in 2 Chronicles, in that verse 7, he said, after they humbled themselves and the Lord saw it, amen, he said, then the word of the Lord came.
Yeah.
Hmm? They humbled. Mm-hmm. He said, then I will, they humbled themselves before, and that's when God spoke. He says, then I will hear from heaven, the open heaven, and will forgive their sin and heal their land.
That is so important.
Hmm?
Notice that if you could, prophetess, speak to Jeremiah, because I think that people are saying, you know, well, everyone else is prophesying this and everyone else is saying this. Why now are you apostle and prophetess? Why are y'all speaking this? And you know, is this really the truth, or is this just you on a soapbox? What's really going on here? Can you speak to Jeremiah and what was going on in his day, as opposed to what the other prophets were saying in that day?
Amen.
Go ahead.
Speaking of the prophet Jeremiah, as we all know, Jeremiah was called at a young age. Amen. Mm-hmm. And Jeremiah was given specific instructions, amen, about the people of Israel. The one thing that God told him is that they were going to be stiff-necked, they were going to be hard, but speak what I say to give you, amen, in the earth. And even when, and Jeremiah would speak against the grain of everybody else, when all the prophets at that time were saying that this is the time of blessing, this is the time of increase, aren't we saying that right now? This is the time of, you know,
victory
and dance, and go forth, and, you know, your time and your season, nothing shall stand in your way. But there was one voice that was saying, oh no, we're going into bondage.
God said, repent and submit.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody liked that word.
No one wants to repent, and definitely nobody wants to submit. And he had to stand. And the thing about it, prophets, is that sometimes you have to have and know within you that God has given you a clear mandate. And you can't switch to the left or the right, regardless if everybody is going in the opposite direction. You can't get swayed, and you can't let the enemy get all up in your head and tell you, you know, you're wrong. You look at everybody else is rejoicing. They even seem to be receiving. Things are coming to pass, even, that these prophets are saying. But, you know, every time you open your mouth, it's doom and gloom and despair and agony. And every time that he spoke, it got to a point, amen, that God said, don't even bring these people before me anymore.
Yeah.
I'm done. They're going in. They're going into captivity.
And I think that really speaks right there of the fact that even though he knew what God said, mm-hmm, he still fulfilled having the heart of Israel before God. Because watching them do wrong, he still cried out to God. Even though he spoke what God said, he will come back and cry out before them. And God said, don't bring them before me no more. Because they're stiff-necked, and I have made up my mind. They shall go into captivity. Even a remnant that was left there, he was left as one of the remnant that were left. And when they killed the governor,
yeah,
then, you know, they knew that they was in trouble. They come right back to him and ask him,
mm-hmm,
you know, what shall we do here? Whatever God say do, or whatever he say do, we're going to do that. We shall be obedient. We shall follow and say and do what God says. And the Lord told them to fall on the mercy of the king. And they said, what you trying to do? Get us messed up? We're going to Egypt. And they fled to Egypt. And they said, and we're taking you with us.
Mm-hmm.
And they dragged him from Jerusalem all the way to Egypt. And he told them what was going to happen when they got to Egypt. Said, you're going to get to Egypt, who should have been your ally, and they will enslave you, and they will be hard taskmasters. And those very words that he spoke came to pass. Listen, your message may not be popular. Right now, people want us to stand up and cry out concerning civil rights and what's right and what's wrong. But right now, we need to cry out about civil rights and what's right and what's wrong as it relates to the kingdom of God. What is God saying? Why are we going through this? What are we facing right now? How do we, as the church, have a voice in the ears of a world that needs to hear that there's a God who still saves, who still hears, who still delivers? Are we even really willing to share that message? Mm-hmm. Yes, that is good. That is good.
One of the main things, prophets and leaders, we don't even have to say prophets, let's say leaders. One thing we have to know is that we cannot be afraid to root out.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? When you see the wrong, some things are so deeply embedded, you got to root it out.
That's it.
And some things are deeply rooted and embedded in people's spirits. That spirit of religion, that spirit of pride, those things got to be rooted out, huh? You got to be able to pull down some things in the atmosphere, And then not only that, sometimes you just got to flat out destroy, and then we can build, And then we can plant. Yeah. But what many of us are trying to do is prophesy over stuff that has never been rooted, or we're trying to build on top of the weeds.
That's it.
We're trying to prophesy on top of the weeds and on top of the trees instead of rooting things out in the spirit realm. Here's one of the things, prophets, you got to have discernment. Discernment has to be one of the operating gifts in your life. Even while my husband was talking, he led me over to the book of James, and then we're going to flip back over to Jeremiah. He says here, and it's the same way we're talking about humbling ourselves and seeking his faith. He said in James chapter 4, and we're going to start at the 6th verse, he said, but he giveth more grace. Mm-hmm. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and then he will flee. But before the devil flees, before you talk about the blood of Jesus, there has to be obedience and submission in your life.
That's it. And see, again, that goes back to what I was saying before, and what we're sharing with you all is that there are the blessing comes, but with the blessing comes the responsibility of following the commandments of God. What God is saying to us, what is God trying to get us to see? You know, those of us who are spiritual, instead of right now jumping on any bandwagon, we need to be silent before the Lord. Tune into the Spirit. Attune your ear to the Spirit so that when you speak, you can hear his voice come out of your mouth. You understand? You're not speaking what you feel, what you think. You're not trying to be politically correct. Time out for all the politicking and all the soothsaying and the favor gaining and all the rest of that. Unlearn all of your Christian and religious jargon. So every time you stand up, what do you mean by that? Well, let me take it back in the day. Giving out to God, who's the head of my life, to the pastor, to the first lady, we used to be able to rattle all of that stuff off. Not that we really gave honor to God or to the pastor or anything. We just learned how to say the right thing at the right time. We learned how to orchestrate and how to move people based on how we gave a testimony. I remember hearing this one lady could get up and testify, and she felt that she was anointed to testify. Really, she was just a good storyteller. She knew how to make it rise and fall at the right time, and people would get up and get happy and shout all over the place off of the testimony she gave, but guess what? That was just training. She learned how to do it, and everybody else learned how to mimic her. So nobody was really giving God glory. Everybody was mimicking a pattern. And that's what we have in church now. They're mimicking a pattern.
Yep.
So everyone gets up and God bless you and this is the, and the grace of God. And, you know, it's all of that. But when you're in tune to the Spirit, when he cries, you cry.
That's it.
When he weeps, you weep.
Yes, sir.
When he celebrates, you celebrate. You understand? And this is what we got to get back to. How can you be the mouthpiece of God and you can't articulate any of his plans and his thoughts or his desires in the earth? How is it that you can't speak what God is saying? So you have to unlearn that religious jargon so you can speak the mind of God. We got to get this together. My God.
Well, yes,
we got to get together. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So in our pride, we're trying to show everybody we got it.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? You know, your anointing comes from the Lord. And if you are going to have an anointing over your life, you have to be submitted to him.
Mm.
So that's why this James 4:7, therefore submit to God. How can you submit to God and you're not submitted to his plan, his will for your life?
Mm-hmm.
How can you submit to him when he's called you to do certain things that you refuse to do because it doesn't fit what you think you should be doing? He called you to minister the gospel, but you just want to be a singer.
Mm.
Well, I ain't never want to stand before people like that. You know, I've seen to them all day, but, you know, I ain't trying to do, you know, nothing else because I just, you know, I just don't feel. Stop. What did he call you to do? Your strength, your salvation, your wholeness, your satisfaction comes in doing what I called you to do. That is greater than anything else. Submit to God. Then you can resist the devil. And he will flee from you.
Mm-hmm.
Why will he flee from you? Because he knows that when you're submitted, your backing is sure.
Exactly.
When your flesh is in the way, he knows that he has some cushion because your flesh gives him padding.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Look what it says after that. A first, draw near to God. Amen. And he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Yes.
And that's really where we are with the church today.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Amen. Hold it
up. Huh?
And then he says, now here we go, intercessor, prayer warrior, watchman, watchwoman. Be afflicted. And mourn. This is where we go into travailing. That art that many people don't have no clue about, but the old saints. This is where you get into a place lamenting. This is where you begin to cry out, and all of a sudden you don't have words, but the Spirit begins to cry out of from down in your soul words that can't be uttered. And I'm not talking about tongues.
Oh, sometimes you can't speak a Hebrew.
Sometimes there's
shot.
No tongues here.
Yes, sometimes it's so hurt on the inside you can't sit up. But I remember mom and them just praying a noonday prayer, and all you would hear was, oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you would hear. And every once in a while, you would hear somebody's name. Save Christopher, Lord. Save him, Satan. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they could do.
That's it. Why? Because they tapped into the heart of the Spirit. They tapped into the heart of God. And when you begin to tap into the heart of God, all of a sudden your agenda of what you want to pray about goes out the window. Then you find yourself praying for people that are over in Africa. Then you find yourself maybe praying for that young lady down the street. Then God, sometimes the Holy Spirit just begin to bring faces to you. Amen. You don't even know these people, but you begin to cry out their situations. You begin to ask God for healing. You begin to ask God for deliverance. Why? Because that's what's on the heart of God. And when we begin to draw near to him, amen, and he begins to draw near to us, then he begins to speak his secrets. He begins to tell you, this is what I'm concerned about. But 9 times out of 10, people of God, we're too busy caught up in what we're concerned about. Lord, my bills need to be paid. God, these folks in my church ain't going to make it. We ain't going to be able to pay the bills. I don't know what's up with my marriage. And then we don't hear what he has to say. He says, lament.
Yeah.
And mourn.
And weep.
And weep. Then he says, after that, as the Holy Spirit goes, as God and the Holy Spirit work together, Jesus and them work together to go through the process until he's done speaking or until he's done praying and interceding. He says, then let your laughter be turned, even let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time, people of God. I know we're talking about walking in our destiny. This is part of your destiny. You do know that, right? Interceding. I know this is our time to produce. This is the time. Out of prayer produces power. Out of prayer produces strength. Out of prayer produces deliverance.
Hmm?
Out of prayer produces the mighty move of God.
You can just say out of prayer produce. You know, because without prayer, you can't communicate. Prayer is a communication language with God. And without communication, you don't know which way to go. And if you don't know which way to go, then you're moving in your flesh and not in the spirit. You know, we're down to our last couple of minutes. Let me just give this last one right here, 10. James 4 and 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. We're back to humbling ourselves. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal the land. Here in James 4 and 10, we see humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will
lift you up.
So then that means that all we have to do right now, God is calling for us as a nation, as a people, especially as his children, to humble ourselves. You're too proud. You're too worried about yourself and how people are going to see you. You're worried about how you're going to build up your ministry. Without his anointing, you don't have a ministry because you don't have a backing for the word you're speaking. And these signs shall follow them that believe. We're not leading them to Christ. We're leading them to our personal agendas. That's why we don't see casting out devils. We don't see lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Brothers and sisters, let's get off our soapboxes, get off our high horses, and fall on our faces before God. Forgive us. We have gotten off focus. We have done whatever. It's been too much about us and not enough about you, God. Help us in the name of Jesus. Bring us back again to the cross. Help us to receive again the blood that covers us and touches us and helps us to remove all of us, this flesh out the way so that they can see you. We need you now.
Yeah, glory to God.
We need you as a nation. We need you as a people. We need you as your children. Lord, you say, whom you love, you chasten. So we accept the chastening of the Lord because it's not for our destruction. It's for our making. Make us. Work on us. Get the flesh out the way in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you because this right here, we heard the verdict and we heard everyone speaking. But now we heard every opinion out there. Now we need to hear what you're saying. I need to hear what you're saying. I need to know what you're saying. What are you speaking to us? Help us now. That we can come into alignment with you and walk this out properly in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray for anyone who's not saved. There's confusion in the earth. They keep hearing too many different voices. I pray, Lord, that even now this will give some clarity and they will turn to you. Lord, if they turn to you, I pray that they pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, thank you for that prayer. Thank you for that soul. Lord, I believe right now that as they have accepted you, I pray that you would lead them to a Bible believing, a Bible teaching church, that they may be matured and develop and go on to do what you've given them to do in kingdom expansion and assignments. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you, Lord, for every miracle, every sign, every wonder. I pray and I release healing right now, blessings upon your people, wholeness in their lives. In the name of Jesus, call us to come back to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. That's ctkr.org, and become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.
Hey, I'm Prophetess Crystal.
And I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen, and this is
Prophetic Atmosphere
with Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.